Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better, even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing
and make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am uber excited today. I've got an incredible guest. His name is Chris Voss, and he is one of the top influencers on the planet, period. The man is a genius at getting products placed and reviewing them and doing things like YouTube videos, and he's got his own show. He's the master and chief executive officer of the Chris Voss Show. He's got a great podcast. You got to go check that out. So, Chris, man, how you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Dude, it's a pleasure. I've been listening to your show and getting some great tips, and you get some great guests and stuff on there. So where I like to start out is I like to get people to know you, because not everybody is a Chris Voss fan yet. They will be by the time we're done. But tell us a little bit about how you went, you know, how you started out as an entrepreneur way back yonder when you were like 10 mowing lawns to turning into a full-blown entrepreneur at 18.
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, as we were talking about pre-show, I did start, I guess, technically my first business mowing lawns at 18. I'd worked during the summers with my dad, who had a subcontracting business for plastering foundations, stucco work in Utah, and had, you know, been learning the business to help him and stuff. And when I turned like 16, 18, I think I was working McDonald's and Pizza Hut, and they fired me one day because I had long hair. I was a, you know, heavy metal rocker back then. And the religious manager I had, you know, he just felt like my long hair was satanic, I guess. And all those Van Halen t-shirts, you know, and he fired me. So I was trying to figure out what to do. And I was lined up to go to college, and my dad says, why don't you just go take over my little subcontracting business and do that. And so out of necessity, I went and did that. And within 3 months, I went back and shook the hand of the jerk manager who'd fired me and said, thanks for firing me. I now make more than you do every month. You just probably changed my life with you being a jerk. It was fun to go walk in and shake his hand and throw it in his face. And I still had long hair.
Cool.
So, and he was stuck at McDonald's. So after that, once you get that entrepreneur shot of heroin, you want more. And it's hard to not be an entrepreneur. And so I went through a few different iterations, failures. I forgot to say for the construction business, when winter comes, cement and winter don't work well in Utah. And so went through a few different iterations, started a few companies, and then finally hit big with the one with a friend of mine. About a year and a half later, we started a second one, and we had kind of three core companies for, I think about 20 years. And, then the recession hit with the social media, but the big recession and housing and everything wiped out most of our businesses, and had to restart over. And, you know, I was looking around for something to do, saw Twitter come around and was wondering what it was about. And I think it was 2008, and just started tweeting. And I was like, holy crap, I can tweet stuff and links to my businesses and people click it. And I'm like, the more I tweet the links, the more people click it. I'm like, this is a wonderful game. And so I started playing on Twitter and being a social media person and kicking ass in it. Back then, Twitter really didn't have any customer support. They'd suspend people without really any notice. Sometimes just blanket whole groups of people get suspended because their computers are so jiggity. And so I kind of became this circle of people that were kind of running customer service for Twitter on a voluntary basis. You know, people come to us and be like, hey, I can't get this to work or that won't work. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, here's how you fix that. Or here's who you contact at Twitter to get your account unsuspended. I think I did a ebook called How to Keep from Getting Suspended on Twitter, and that thing was really popular because it was so crazy back then. And when I got into social media, I really didn't know what I was going to do or how to do it or what I was going to use it for. All I knew is that I needed an audience. So I started building an audience and putting up content and grew an audience out of it. And what's been nice is I called it the Chris Voss Show so that it could be anything I wanted it to be. You know, it wouldn't be product specific, like, you know, the iPhone show or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so what's been nice is over the years is my tastes have changed and what I care about. I can still have the Chris Voss Show going, but some of the content has changed to protect the innocent, if you will, I guess.
Okay. Cool. So you, obviously being an early adopter, you know, you kind of got the sense of what was happening and you watched it all evolve. But how did you go from that to start doing like these product reviews and how did you become an influencer, I guess is the real question. Where did people start noticing you and start shipping you product for you to review? How did that happen?
Mostly it was on Twitter. I built my audience on Twitter. I think when things really started happening for me was when I was about 70,000 followers on Twitter. And back then it was still the Wild West. It was still new. A lot of people don't know how to master it. And so I'd mastered how to build an audience, how to lure people to follow you and join you and see your content and stuff. And so I got pretty proficient and I kind of gotten in this ring of people that everyone kind of knew that we knew what was going on. And I started to have companies, CEOs call me and they go, "Hey, we've seen you on Twitter and we really like what you do and we'll pay you to teach us what you know." And I'm like, "You're going to pay me for this crap? Seriously? I don't. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm just having fun over here doing a little business and shit." And so I started, you know, consulting, speaking, things of that nature. And then about 2011, 2012, I just really got bored with it because it just got old to me how to constantly be explaining what social media is. And I have a lot of great friends and people. There's a lot of brilliant people that are in this space, like Chris Brogan's, the Brian Solis's of the world. And they can scientifically, minutely, microscopically break down social media to the smallest atom and explain it to people in words they can understand. To me, it just got redundant, and I just couldn't handle constantly explaining to people what social media was in new ways. I'm just like, it's media that's social. What is there not to get? I have a problem where, you know, I watch baseball and I'm like, why are you running to three bases? Just why don't you just run from the home base to the second base and come back? Because it's a straight line. You're wasting your time.
Because it's against, like, rules, dude. That's why.
See, that's my problem. I don't have rules.
Right.
Those rules, and I think outside the box in a lot of ways that really helped me as an entrepreneur. So I look at stuff like that, and I'm just like, well, that's stupid. So I got tired of it, and I was on a secret advisory board with Clout, if you remember them. I guess they're still around technically.
Yeah, I still have a Clout score, believe it or not.
You and I.
Yeah.
And and $4 will buy you a cup of coffee. So I was on Clout's secret advisory board, a private thing we were doing with them, and we had a private Facebook group and stuff, and we would kind of know about what Clout was up to and what they were doing, the Clout started sending out products to influencers to review. And so I got some product and I'm like, hey, this is kind of cool. I reviewed it. And then I noticed there were people on YouTube that were killing it with reviewing products and stuff. And they were getting free products. And I'm like, hey, this sounds like a hell of a deal. I love free products. I like technology, I like gadgets. So I started asking people for free product to review. And it just rocket shipped. And then by having large audiences, I built relationships with a company like AT&T and other companies. And once they work with me and saw how much I could kick butt on driving traffic, promoting them, getting, you know, turning eyeballs, they said, hey, we want to do business with you. And so out of that, it just got bigger and bigger. And now it's fun, kind of, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah. No kidding.
But it's more interesting to me than trying to tell somebody the minute atomization of social media.
Yeah. Well, and see, that's one of the things that I do is I do like these social media boot camps locally and I do them mm-hmm. online and stuff like that. And the hardest thing about it is every time I do one, I've got to go through the entire platform and say, okay, what changed here? What changed here? Because it's like the screens change on the mobile phone, options change on the desktop. It's like trying to, you know, nail Jell-O to a wall to figure out what's working and what's not, you know, it's just the way it is. So I get your frustration with it, but you know, that's what I do is that's how I help people figure it out is to create content and do things. But back to what you were talking about, and I guess this is kind of the circle back question is, you know, you were in social media before social media was cool. And then everybody jumped on the boat and the boat started to tip and it starts to sink because now we're in this crazy kooky world of way too much noise, way too much fake news. You know, in other words, you built up a credibility. That's a hard thing to do today. It's much harder to do to get people to know, like, and trust you enough to pay attention. So
I think it definitely is. It's definitely harder to raise brands, and now there's more rules that the platforms has to gaming the systems and getting followers and enticing people to follow you because they want you to pay them for the stuff.
Right.
You know, years ago, I think it's on a video from 2009 or so or 2010, I actually predicted that there would probably be an elected politician that would win the White House by being huge on social media. I didn't realize how caustic or toxic that was going to be, but I remember predicting it at the
time. Oh, yeah. Well, there was a book by Joe Trippi, who's a political consultant, is called This Revolution Will Not Be Televised. He was actually working on the Howard Dean campaign back in 2000. And he was actually talking about the social media revolution. And he's the guy that helped get, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was going down in Arkansas. He was going against the judge, and he actually helped him win that campaign. So he's huh. A lot of people have embraced it for politics and a whole bunch of other things. But it's the Wild West, but in a different way now. You know,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting what we're dealing with these bots, false information and propaganda that can be tricked to people. And then, you know, I was watching something recently where they showed how the Russian, the Russian guys that were trying to influence our election, they went in and, you know, they were manipulating media and pictures and videos they were finding and then manipulating them to tell a different story that they wanted to drive a narrative on. And it's just amazing what, you know, how much disinformation and manipulation people can really put into social media. We're kind of finding out the dark side of it all.
Right. But there's a psychology behind a lot of this stuff. And there's a reason why people spend time on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know, whatever their, you know, entry gateway drug of social media of choice is. So, but more importantly is like, okay, so in today's environment, you know, what kind of things are you seeing? Because I'm sure you're out speaking to conferences, you're talking to people, you're hearing a lot of stuff. What are some of the things that people are doing to build those authentic relationships, to build that tribe, that community, so that people know, like, and trust them and start to pay attention to them? How do we circumvent all the crap?
That's a good question. I the main thing is pumping out content, sharing it, asking people to see it, make sure that you're using saturation techniques. Like if you're doing a blog post or something like that, share it for several days or 30 days in a row, get it out there, share it across Twitter. There's so much ADD and noise in the marketplace that, you know, I know a lot of people, they'll be like, well, I shared my blog post, and you're like, well, you know, there's so many people that may not have seen it, go back and redo it. There's a reason that you see sometimes the same commercials on TV every TV break on some of the cable channels.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think on MSNBC, I can tell you what the what all the camera, what all the commercials are going to roll on the break, and what order at this point.
Right.
And but that's what the that's what they do. Saturation, you know. That's why you can remember all the jingles and all that crap, is because they program it into you. And so a lot of people need to do that the same way. I'm very impressed with what podcasts are doing. Podcasts are just so hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I can borrow a line from the movie. So hot right now. that podcast is so hot. My nipples are hard.
Yes. Dude, you know I'm calling from Aurora, Illinois, the home of Wayne's World, right?
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah. Wayne's World, party on. Excellent. Woo, woo, woo. Another story is I lived in, I grew up in Wheaton, and John Belushi's little brother used to be my light man. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. Seriously. Yeah, I had a band, and he was one of my light men. So, yeah, it's very cool. But I had another, just real quick story on what you were talking about short attention span theater. I had a friend on social media. He's got a 3-year-old kid. Kid gets up in the morning and says, I want waffles. Dad makes all the waffles and does all this stuff and cooks them and puts them on a plate. And the kid says, I don't want it. And I said to him, dude, that was so 5 minutes ago. You don't understand. And that's the way that people treat social media. That saturation effect is so incredibly important because, man, if you're not in front of those eyeballs, you know, people just forget. There's too much info out there, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of info. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of gaming, of course. You know, you've got Edge Rank with Facebook where you've got to play certain tricks with it. I think they just came out with a new game, new rules that you got to play a game with now. Twitter is the same sort of thing, you know, getting noticed. It really is about making tons of content. But the one place I'm really impressed with is the space that podcasts are doing. I've seen my podcast. I took a couple years off to do some hospice care with my dog and return to podcasting after I was like, watching the numbers constantly go up, and I'm like, why are the numbers going up when I haven't done a new episode in 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
There's actually people listening to this crap. And so I got back into podcasting, and I think in the few months that I've been back doing it now, I think about 3 or 4 months, the podcast is quadrupled. And it's doing fairly well considering how I treated it like a stupid stepchild over the years. But podcasts, I think, do really well now. I mean, people really like consuming it. They really trust the content. It's great relationship builder because verbally hearing or seeing somebody, you know, I think builds a better rapport connection than reading my stupid tweet on Twitter. You know, you can hear the tenor of my voice, the sound of it, the inflection. You can get my comedy probably better. And you know, podcasts just do really well. I think Twitter does good. You know, Facebook is a great place to build an audience, Facebook fan page, if you will. Funny thing about Facebook fan pages was for years I told all my clients and people, you know, they're like, we all got to go do a Facebook fan page. That's where it's at. And I used to tell people, you know, it's not going to be free forever. They're going to eventually charge for that. No, they're not, Chris. No, they're not. Sure enough, they did. And then everyone's all upset. I'm like, I prepared for this. And, you know, Facebook fan pages are good. Instagram, I think, is really hot. And I think they're eating Snapchat's lunch.
Yep.
And I think Snapchat's going to fail if they haven't already. I mean, we just saw a huge dump they took when what's her face? One of the Kardashians, you know, tweeted something bad about it.
Well, they changed their interface and everybody went up in arms, and it was like
that's not helping them stay alive. I mean, no. I predicted they were dead long before that, but yeah, that's not helping. And then they lose people like the Kardashians and all the thing that the little millennials go after, then you're gonna problem, especially when they're putting it over on Instagram and stuff,
right? Yeah, kids. I mean, I've got two millennial kids, so you know they're in Instagram and Twitter, and then texting. That's all they do. You know, they don't play because mom's on Facebook, so they don't play there. And that's one of the other things that's so important is just knowing who your audience is and where they're hanging out. And that's when you say saturation. I agree with you. I mean, as Michael O'Neill says, man, you know, podcast is one of the most interesting thing because it gets you inside of people's earballs. You're literally going inside of their head. It's the one topic or one thing that you can do that.
Yeah, I really like it. You know, I'm huge on LinkedIn. I think on LinkedIn I have a 126,000 person group that's over there, and those people are, you know, C-class corporate folks. I've always just made it a point to any new platform I get on, try and dominate it as early as I can if I think it's going to rock. There's certain people that I appeal to on LinkedIn that they don't follow me on Instagram or Twitter, because they're LinkedIn people. And there's, I remember years ago, I think it was like 2010, 2011, we used to have a joke that LinkedIn is your office, Facebook is your home, and Twitter's the bar.
that's spot on, dude. That's very true.
It's kind of the essence of the difference of the audience there. And I think it's probably more of a bar than ever before, that a very rancorous one. A very dive bar, if you will. Being on all sorts of different channels, appealing to all sorts of different faces, places, names, really is important. Being authentic, I think, is a very important thing. Being human is important. Being open and talking about your failures, talking about what hurts, just letting your audience know you're a human being. And people tend to like that because there's so many people who put up facades nowadays, and they, you know, they have a fake online persona. Then you meet them or get to know them privately, and you're like, holy crap, you're an awful human being. But online, everyone thinks you're Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah. Dude, where's your Lamborghini and the chicks that you have in the picture?
Like, why are you living out of your Chevy Nova? I thought you were like a rock star for social media.
Right. Well, that's, it's branding. Some people come out of the corporate world and they think they could take that brand and basically brand themselves. But I agree with you 110%, man. The best brand is you. You know, be who you are, be true to what you do, know your passion, do your thing, talk about it, and, you know, eventually people will start to jump on board.
Well, the surprising thing is, too, is being human and authentic and sometimes painfully open really helps you connect with people from a poor basis because, you know, everyone's human. When I started my weight loss to lose 100 pounds, I was just doing it for myself at the time I was doing it. And so I started on that journey and I started sharing with my audience and using my audience as a kind of a coach or at least an accountability group. And they would, you know, I'd post my weight loss every day. I'd talk about what I ate the day before and what I think impacted what the scale said. And what I didn't know at the time and in a action that was fairly selfish, I started realizing that there was a whole lot of people that had the same sort of issues I did about diet, weight, health, and everything else, and that it resonated with them and ended up being a journey for me and a lot of people. But it's always kind of interesting to me that I've kind of done things and shared things and been authentic, and suddenly I'll find out that people see me as a leader in that, and I'm just like, I'm just being human. But I guess if you want to follow me and we all support each other and help each other out, then that's cool too as well. Same thing with my dog getting cancer and going through hospice care for a year and a half and passing away. Me opening my wounds over that, talking about the experiences we went through it, which was really painful, cathartic. And at the time when I had considered talking about it, it seemed a little risky because you really had to open yourself up. And it turns out a lot of people write me and say, I realized that when my dog passed away years ago, I didn't get closure on it. Or I didn't, you know, close up that wound. And by seeing you go through that catharsis, I realize now and I've been able to get closure kind of through your experience. And it's kind of been interesting to me over the years and how sometimes what I do unintended, but somehow I seem to have an impact on their life, which is interesting.
See, that's key. And so to kind of summarize everything in a nutshell, I mean, you talked a lot about being human and authentic and not trying to put up this big facade as one of the keys to your success, no matter whether it's, you know, straightforward and telling it like it is, giving bad reviews on products that you don't like, giving good reviews on ones you do. You know, it's just you're you, you know, and I think that's really gives you a place of authority because you built up the following and then you just were yourself. And that's really what made you a success, right? I mean, does that sum it up?
Yeah. I mean, I have people that follow me and they've been following me for a lot of years. They know the whole history. And sometimes they'll remind me of something and they'll be like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I'm like, what, you remembered that? You know, it's just the beauty of unintended consequences and serendipity that happens when you throw your hat into that ring or throw your hat in the universe and say, well, let's see where this ride goes. Yeah, I think that's a real big aspect because anybody can do a podcast. Anybody can tweet on Twitter. I mean, right. Certainly we've seen that. You know, all the way up to some of the most powerful people in the world that can't spell this morning. It's called Alex Baldwin.
Yes.
Leave that there.
Yeah, so let it go. Let it go, man. Let it go.
Okay. So, yeah,
let's not get frozen.
I'm just saying that's proof that just about anybody can be on Twitter with a fourth grade education.
Mm-hmm.
And but being human, being authentic, I don't necessarily think of myself as a leader or try being a leader. I don't wake up and go, I'm going to lead today. Mm-hmm. I do try to be an influencer and talk about things I care about. I'm a little different than some of my cohort friends that they don't really like to stray into politics or issues, social issues. They don't really try and save the world. They're kind of more concerned about their purchase cart online, and you know, they don't want to upset the buying cart. They don't want to upset people who, you know, well, oh, you said something political and I'm on this side and so now I'm not going to buy your products anymore or go to your speaking things and stuff. Where my slant has been a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more slamming my fist down. It's been very interesting. I've actually caught people on Twitter talking amongst themselves where they're like, I really hate Chris Voss. He's really stupid and he believes this and I hate that. And so screw him. And then they're like, yeah, the only reason I follow him is because he's interesting. I just want to see what he's going to do next. Or I want to be there when he finally hits the wall in that car crash of the life of his. It's been funny to me that even my haters will follow me and stalk me. And I'm just like, wow, even though people hate me, they still listen to me. I have people write me and they go, the only reason we put up with you is you have a beautiful dog and you love your dog. And
right. So it's a weird psychology in the social world, man. I got a whole nother show I'm working on specifically with a psychologist on just that. So that's, it's crazy, but man, we could probably talk for days. I find it like a brother from another mother and it's been a blast, getting to know you better and getting, you know, the knowledge bomb that you dropped was, you know, the best thing that you can do in order to be an influencer and a leader is be yourself. And I think that's so important for people to think about is don't be plastic. You know, just be who you are. So do you have anything that you want to offer people? I mean, just check out your podcast or anything like that, or what do you got for them?
Yes, please. Check out my podcast. You can see The Chris Voss Show. It's on iTunes, Google Play. You can go to thechrisvossshow.com. If you want to follow me anywhere on social media, you can just look for Chris Voss. I am not the FBI agent who also is screwing up my name on Google SEO. You can follow me just about anywhere. Fortunately for me, I have all the Chris Vosses on all the accounts everywhere. So if you just type my name, that's most likely me.
Cool, man. Well, this has been a blast. It's been, like I said, a pleasure to get to know you. And thanks for dropping some sizzling hot knowledge bacon bombs on my peeps, man. It's great. I look forward to connecting up with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.